Good morning. I want to echo Brother Will and Brother Lloyd this morning and welcome you all to this worship service this morning. I hope that those of you who are visiting with us this morning, I would anticipate that you have been made to feel welcome. Every day we have many choices that are thrown at us in this world, thousands upon innumerable ones. You have chosen today to join with us in worship to our God and our Father. And I commend you of that choice hope that as you visit with us that you will stay around with us a few moments after we conclude our services today and let us get to know a little more about you. Prayer to our visitors also is that if you have any questions about what we do here this morning, that you will feel comfortable in approaching any member here to discuss these things and let us explore God's Word together as we, and I would suggest that if you were to do so and that you would be a friend indeed if there is something about our service that needs to be corrected from God's Word. Looking around, it's a lot of people are traveling this weekend, and I guess apparently it got leaked out that I was teaching this morning in lieu of Forrest. But to try to dampen the disappointment of him not being here, I did work on growing my beard this week while away at camp. So, and as a side benefit of that, I was trying to also earn being at Boy Scout camp or earning my beard growing merit badge. So. But while there at camp, we had a great week, regardless of all the weather up there, and safe travel to and from, as you can see. But while we were up there, there were six boys who, in total, from Shaden's troop, that joined us at scout camp this week. And as the week went on, and he's fairly, we're obviously as new to the area, we're also fairly new to his troop, and discovered, sadly, that of the six that were with us, four of them would be coming from homes that traditionally in our culture we would call coming from broken homes. The current parlance is an alternative family. And these four in that troop are not the only ones who come from broken homes. And so I paused to consider this, to consider how far away my own sons could be from being from a broken home. The Bible calls out men to lead their families. It calls out men to love their wives, to understand their wives, to know their wives. God also calls out men to lead their children in their family. And today's focus of my lesson will be on the fatherhood aspect of what God calls us to be. Because the God of the Bible, one of the central images of the God of the Bible is that of a father. And that is in stark contrast to many, if not most, of the world's religions. Three in particular that we'll look at. Buddhism typically teaches that there is no absolute God, although there are certain sects, at least one, that interprets Buddhism as a search for an ultimate God, that they do not discuss God, that God as being a father. Hindu generally worship a multitude of gods as well, chiefly three known as Shiva, Vishnu, and Krishna. Also, the Hindu god Brahma is viewed by some sects as a personal, loving god who desires the salvation of all men Usually, however, he is described as a supreme, impersonal being, completely above all creation and uninvolved with life on earth. In Islam, there are at least 99 instances that portray the might and majesty of Allah, as well as his compassion and mercy. But the manifestations of his compassion and mercy are shown in the sending of messengers to proclaim the truth of man's responsibility to live according to Allah's dictates. In none of those instances is God described as Father. So this morning I'm going to look at two examples of fathers that are found in the Bible. One of them didn't do so well. Another is known, did very well. We'll start our in 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you would like to read along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we will be looking at Eli. And Eli had two sons, whose names were Hophni and Phinehas. And we will pick up in verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The custom of the priests with the people, of which Hophni and Phinehas were priests of the people, was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Eli was judge over Israel at this time at Shiloh, and he served in the tabernacle, which was set up at Shiloh, and his sons were serving as priests, following in the steps of the old man, as we would say if we looked at it from a surface view. But in all these instances of what God has revealed to us, he calls them just worthless men. As Jesus taught in the New Testament, salt that is worthless has salt that has lost its savor, that is worthless, is thrown out in the street to be trampled upon. So Eli, their father, gives a rebuke to his sons. Start picking up again at verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people." "No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against man, God will mediate for him, but if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Does it seem to me that Eli's response at this point is a little lacking? His sons were practicing things that were abominable to God, so much so that God saw them as worthless men. And they were acting without fear in these in what they were doing. God sent a messenger, a man of God, to Eli. And in verse 29, the messenger shows that Eli, in his permissiveness with his sons, has become a partaker of that same evil. And later, in chapter 3 of the book, 1 Samuel, we find that he and his sons all died. And their name did not continue from that point in Israel. Was it that Eli's dedication to serving in the temple that he didn't? Was there? We don't know for certainly, but was his so focused on service in the temple or judging over Israel, having everybody come to him to make decisions, that he left the work of raising his sons to someone else? It's unclear. But we as fathers can often let the cares of this world get in the way of teaching our children, working to provide for our families. If our job becomes our entire life, we are not raising our children in the Lord. If we let sport in our leisure time become the sole focus of our lives when we do have leisure time, we are not raising our children in the Lord. So let's look at our other example, Jonadab. And Jonadab is introduced to us in Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 10 when he joins with Jehu to help to destroy the wicked family of Ahab, who was king over Israel at the time. In addition to that, the worshipers of Baal. Jonadab was a son of Rechab, and his descendants became known as the Rechabites. And Jonadab's several generations later were still following the teachings of Jonadab. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. We see the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the house of the Rechabites and speak with them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and offer them wine to drink. So I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, and his brothers and all his sons in the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them to the house of the Lord into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, keeper of the threshold. And I set before the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups and said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, you shall not sow seed, you shall not plant or have a vineyard, but you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. And we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, son of Rechab, our father, and all that he commanded us, to drink no wine all our days, ourselves, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, and not to build houses to dwell in. We have no vineyard, no field, or seed, but have lived in tents and have obeyed and done all that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave. after being presented with the Rechabites, God then told Jeremiah to use their example to go teach Israel. In verse 12, thus says the word, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words, declares the Lord? The command that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drink none to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened to me. I have sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Because of the respect that the Rechabites had for the word of their father, grandfather, great-grandfather at this point, they also became blessed by God. Other than Jonadab going up with Jehu to destroy Ahab's family and destroy the Baal worshippers, what do we really know about him? Other than he stood against God. He stood for God in that day. And he stood with God to teach his children in such a way that they respected his wishes from generations over generations. A father who subjects himself to the Father does instruct his children in the law of Christ, even as the Father instructs us. God spoke directly with Abraham, had that relationship directly with Abraham, saying, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God chose Abraham because Abraham submitted himself to God's will. People of Israel, God, in giving the law, repeatedly spoke of, you shall be mine, and you shall be my people. He wanted to have the relationship with Israel. In Deuteronomy 4, God says, and what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates. And again in Deuteronomy 11, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way. And that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. God commands fathers to teach our children. He doesn't command fathers to let somebody else teach their children. And there are many ways in this world, this culture especially, in this nation, that it is very easy to let somebody else do the work for us. Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. Do our children know today of the glorious deeds that God has done for us? Much of what Jesse talked about in his lesson this morning, talked about stopping focusing on self. It's called narcissism. And submitting ourself to become a servant. To be a father is to be a servant, as much as it is to be a husband, to be a servant. And as we begin to draw a close, this lesson didn't really focus on if there's anybody here who has not submitted themselves to the will of God. But the Lord's invitation through the Son's sacrifice continues to be available if you need to do so. Jesus taught us, "Truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." John 5, verse 24. Jesus teaches us, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." John 6, verse 29. Jesus teaches, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus also teaches, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32. And Jesus also teaches, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John 3, verse 5. Fathers, are you taking the challenge of God seriously for the children that he has blessed you with? Won't you come now as we stand, as we sing?